What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Welcome everyone to episode number 15, the last episode in the Princess of South Beach season 2. And this is a very special episode because this time we are not having a following up to our wonderful story. Aside from this, this is a moment in which we would like to go behind the scenes of the Princess of South Beach. And who can give us a tour inside of the Princess of South Beach better than our creator, writer, executive producer, and director for the English version, Jasmine, the wonderful Romero. No. Hola, Jasmine.
Not the wonderful. Maybe la bruja, maybe the terrible, maybe the dictator, but not the wonderful. Never the wonderful.
That depends on the time of the day and what episode we're working on. That's definitely something true. But most of the time, you are the wonderful, Jasmine, and we love you. Welcome. Welcome to episode 15, Jasmine.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we have a very special guest on this episode as well, which is our wonderful and unique Raúl. Andy Bustillos is here with us. Andy, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you guys?
Welcome on board, my friend. You are in New York right now?
No, I'm in Los Angeles.
You're in Los Angeles, so we are having a multi-geo-something connection from New York to Los Angeles to Mexico City. So,
but that's how Princess is. That's, I mean, even in season one, we recorded in like 5 different countries or something, and you know, how many different cities. And so that's the way it's always been with Princess. Everybody's all over the place.
That's correct. We've been everywhere. We've been everywhere with talents from all around. And Andy, tell us, how do you feel by approaching season 2 after working on season 1? How was your experience, and how did Raúl evolved from the beginning till now?
I feel like, well, first I was just very excited to get to do a bunch of stuff. And getting to see him kind of not just be like the fun, sweet idiot who like just puts his foot in his mouth constantly, but to like, like there was one really fun scene that I got to do with X that was just like that very serious where I'm just like talking to her about her girlfriend and stuff, and to just get to just be like the most like serious version, I guess, of Raoul, was like so cool. It was great to be able to kind of bring him there and then immediately pull him out because he says something dumb and
absolutely
gets in trouble. But it was great to kind of see him, you know, get even more fleshed out and more just endearing, I guess.
Absolutely. This is, I think it's pretty much Raoul's season. It's, we're following him. That's his journey. And we had a lot of fun recording you. And there were lots of new experiences working with you all along. And all the improv that you could do with X and everything. It was so much fun to see. And to be honest, I can tell you as a producer that it was a real enjoyment to see you working together. Jasmine, how was your experience directing Andy on this season?
I mean, the reality is that like directing for Princess is I should barely even get the title because I really just like let the actors do whatever they want to do. And especially like Andy, how long have you known X?
We met, I mean, it's got to be 8 years ago, maybe even more than that, at UCB, basically. So a very long time when she started doing a bunch of improv and stuff. And so we were both kind of doing shows and performing all the time.
Yeah. Let me just adjust these blowers. All right. Ooh, can we turn up the AC, please? It's a little hot in here. Ooh, and I curated a playlist. I hope you like cats.
Cats? What? Like you made a playlist of like meowing?
No, silly. The musical Cats.
Oh.
Because Jellicles can and Jellicles do.
You better shut the fuck up before I hit you.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have known each other for so long, and so getting you two in a room together, you're both such seasoned improvisers that it was really like, I was like, you know, you guys already, and season two, it was nice because everybody knew the characters, they knew the tone of the show, and so it was really about like, letting the car drive itself and like letting it go on autopilot and letting you guys have fun.
Yeah, it definitely felt very easy to kind of get to do that stuff. It was like, oh yeah, I know exactly what to do in this situation. And X knows exactly how to like cut me in such a funny way that I was like, this is so fun. It was great.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
It was, and it's very interesting to see how you approach the character and how it developed and how the character grew in the way that you portrayed him, and it's really, really, really a very interesting and very enjoyable situation to see you working on this. And how was it for you to work on a distance basis? You were working in Los Angeles, then we were working all over the place. How was it for you? Was it easy?
Well, honestly, I just think it's very cool that we, like, when we did the New York recording stuff, working, like, setting up so that I can see all the other actors and get to act off of them was really cool. But then also getting to actually do it in person here in LA with X was awesome. So I feel like both are great, obviously, but nothing beats getting to be in a room, I think, with someone that you get to perform with. It felt so, like, the sort of energy felt bumped up for sure, just because you get to feed off each other and you feel it in the room.
Well, and in the first season, you got to do scenes with it. I think it's really fun to watch the fans try and figure out what scenes were done in person and what scenes were done apart. In the first season, you got to do scenes with Gina Torres and with Danny Pino, where we had you guys over on Zoom. But this season, you had a scene with Alan Eisenberg, who plays Andres, and you guys were not together. And not only did we not have you together physically, like, you weren't even on Zoom. You were just cold reading. I don't know if you got to listen to that scene.
I did, when he calls me and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And
the bro scene where you guys are on the road trip.
Yeah. I mean, we're bros, right?
Bros. Yeah. Yeah, I guess we are. Yeah.
It really, when I heard it, I could not tell that you guys had not done it together. And you guys both did so much fun improvising in that scene. It was amazing how it cut together.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, even the stuff with Rachel from the first season, she messaged me on Twitter and was like, first, she was so nice and very sweet, but also it was just like, it sounds like we acted together, even though we were never in the same room or even Zoomed or anything. It's incredible. The way you guys edited it together.
I forgot about
flawless.
That.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, I didn't realize you and Rachel were never together. I forgot about that.
No, it was crazy. She messaged me and was like, isn't this crazy? We never even met. And it sounds great. It sounds like we were acting so well together. I was like, oh, this is so nice.
Yeah, I think it's there's a lot of talent involved here from the actors. Obviously, Jasmine, the creator, director, and also, I need to give credit to the engineers and producers.
Absolutely.
Kerenza, our production manager, which were very, very much aware of the distance between the actors and that we needed to have this narrative working and have it. It didn't matter if you were in New York or Rachel was in LA or we even had a talent here in Mexico. Everybody needed to sound like if they were in the same place. And all the Juan, Edwin, Querenza, they were all very aware that that how was the scene portrayed or recorded before so that you could have interactions and we could give a follow-up so that we can, when you would be put together in the same track, you would sound real, normal. And that's something that maybe we were able to trick our audience and make them believe that the actual scene was being recorded with all the talents all together.
Yeah, and it really is like a painstaking process to line those tracks up. Like, and and to make people sound like you're in conversation. Because even on Zoom, there's always like a little bit of lag. There's like a, you know, depending on people's internet connections. And so even when you guys were recording together on Zoom, sometimes like you would sync up the audio afterwards and there was still that weird lag. And we had to like go through and cut millisecond by millisecond just so that it sounded like you guys were in conversation.
Yeah, it was. It's a wonderful process, and that's why we love audio, and that's why we love podcasts, and we are thankful for the media, and we are thankful for all the talent that has been put together into all this. This is a huge production. This actual production, I don't know if you are aware, but we did the same episodes in English as well as in Spanish, so everything needed to be duplicated, and in some cases, recreated. Because if you get to listen the Spanish version against the English version, you will find very, very that it's not too similar. There are quite interesting differences between both of them. Even though the story is the same, the humor is approached in a different way. The pauses and everything there, everything is quite different, and it's different angles of the same diamond. You know, it's like you are watching a diamond from different sides, perspectives, and the facets are different. So it's a very, very interesting process. It was a long process to do. We spent like probably what, Jasmine, maybe 6 months producing our season two.
The actual production. Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
And Andy, I'd love to hear your thoughts on how season one and season two were different. I know that I approached them differently as a writer, but I wonder for you, especially given that Raul has a much bigger role in season two, like what did you feel like were the differences in the two seasons?
Well, I think because he could kind of discovered more, it seemed like he was a very, very naive in the first season, sweetly naive. And then by the second season, he's discovered that things are messed up and that not everything's the truth and you know, all this kind of stuff. And so it's interesting to see him kind of process that, still keep his sort of sweetness, but be able to actually delve deeper into himself and find sort of, yeah, like just emotions and things to actually get mad about, things to like be able to actually be more of interesting person. It was great. Yeah. And also like, when we did that first season, I feel like I, by the end of it, I really knew who he was. And then obviously we didn't record again until very much later. So that's always like a weird thing where I'm like, oh, I got to remember like how I felt when I was recording that first time. Cause it was such a thing. It was so cool. And so I think that space also made it so that the approach was, I was also coming in differently and viewing him slightly differently. So it wasn't exactly, so it felt like actual time had passed for him, and because it had for me. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Andy, I need to make this question. Where do you think Raul is going? Where do you think Jasmine is taking us for season three? Where do you think, what do you think is happening to Raul next season?
I don't know. I imagine if in this one I pretty much shit my pants, I assume the next one I'm going to piss myself. I assume something like that. Maybe I'll be in a diaper. I'll be in an accident where I have to just wear a diaper all the time. That's probably a good possibility. I'll probably, maybe I'll get ripped.
Ooh.
That'll be fun. I'll just be super ripped.
Can you tell us about Raul's sex appeal and why he is so attractive to women?
Honestly, even doing that scene with X where the waitress was just like into me, even I was like, wait, what's happening? So I don't even know, which I think is even extra funny because I'm also surprised. Like, what are you talking about? She wasn't hitting up, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I think it's one of those mysteries of the world, impossible to really understand. But I love that it's a thing. I think it's so funny. And I love how mad it makes X.
Well, I understand it's a thing, but it's a big thing in Raul.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes him attractive.
Oh, it's so funny. I love that.
Yeah, I think Raul also, like, it's interesting to think about what these characters look like, because they don't necessarily, like, everybody, I'm sure, has a different picture of what Raoul looks like in their mind. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know, is Raoul, like, a short king? Is he, like, clearly he has, shall we say, BDE, you know, he has that energy that, like, women find really attractive. But, like, yeah, I've never really, because I think even in season one, like, he's so, like, he's such a crybaby, and mm-hmm. he's so, like, it's always been, like, what is it that Gloria sees in him? Why were they together in the first place? You know, and obviously in season two, we somewhat answer that question. What do you think, Raoul? Andy, what do you think it is that makes Raoul so attractive?
In my head, I picture a much taller, like a lanky, like sweet, sort of like a tall giant, like a sweet giant, I guess, or something like that. Because I'm like, well, yeah, if they fell in love and stuff, he's probably like a tall, should be like a prince, sort of Disney prince kind of guy. But he's not. And maybe that's what makes him so interesting, because he goes against sort of character. Yeah, I think it's the sweetness mixed with what I assume in my head is if I was taller. I picture myself taller whenever I read those lines. Taller, but like sweeter and dumber. I think that's that combo, I think, is maybe like a very interesting one that you don't really see as much. Like, you know, yeah.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles, because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Everybody uses their own imagination to picture the character as we hear them. I honestly picture Raoul in a very different way. Pretty very much like you. I mean, physically, very much like you. But Jasmine, tell us about the characters. I mean, we've been traveling with this. We've been having a big, interesting journey with all these characters for a long, long time. Tell us about your creative process. How did this story came up to you in your mind? Why have you done this? So these characters so cherished, so loved. Tell us about that. Tell us about your process.
Well, it originally really started as like a love letter to telenovelas and the kinds of telenovelas that we grew up with. And a lot of the characters were sort of based on the tropes that you see in telenovelas. And so Raul was one of the first characters that I thought of because I was like, you know, if she's going to be this like influencer and this like socialite, like she's got to have her arm candy. She's got to have this like perfect boyfriend. And it's always this like super masculine hero dude. And a lot of where the characters came from was wanting to flip a lot of those tropes on their head. And so rather than have him, like he really thinks of himself as this like Disney prince, but then he cries at the drop of a hat. And so it's just like this like strange dichotomy of like being like a super hot man baby.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's you, Andy. That's you.
Yeah, who like, you know, that's you.
I know, that's great. Super hot man baby.
And I think it is his like emotional vulnerability that really probably was the spark between them. I think she probably at first was like, I like that he's sensitive. And then she was like, fuck, he's so sensitive. But like also Luisa, right? Like you look at Gina Torres, she's drop dead gorgeous. And in the script, she's supposed to be this like plastic surgery nightmare woman who like her father calls her Diego Rivera with a wig on, you know? And so, but then like you're in the recordings with her and you're like, I'm literally looking at a goddess. And so trying to like keep those two things in mind is just like really funny. I think a lot of the characters in the show I think the show operates in a different reality than the one that we live in, for sure. Season one, I think, is very much that like telenovela energy. Season two was a little more like Scooby-Doo adventure. But I think in any season, the show will always be operating on this like elevated plane of existence where like it's like uncanny and like it's not the real world. It's like sparkly and a little crazy and anything can happen, including, you know, a musical dream sequence.
That was so cool. When I got to hear that, I was like, oh my God. It came together so...
Hola familia, this is Danny Pino, play Nacho Santana in season 2 of Princess of South Beach. We had an incredible time recording season 2 with Jasmine Romero and her fantastic team. Probably one of the most unforgettable moments from this season was singing as Nacho. The song was hilarious and specific and really pulled me out of my comfort zone. Not only that, but I got to be the narrator for season 2, and that gave me the license to chew on all of the scenery. So I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you again for listening, and que viva Nacho.
Yeah, we had a musical number on episode 9. That was the infamous episode 9 that we got to put together. It was wonderful. It was one of the things that we were of the parts of the season that we were all trying to approach in a better way. I don't think we ever did a musical number in any episode before for any other kind of series. And yeah, it was so much fun to do it. Obviously, your talent made it work and made it shine. But wow, it was an amazing experience to work out that musical number. Congratulations on that.
So much fun. It sounded so cool. Because I recorded just my parts, obviously. I had no idea what it was going to sound like at all. Because when I did it, yeah, it was just the music, but no vocals from anyone else. So it was just me going, like doing the low end of a lot of stuff and being like, what is this going to sound like? And it sounds unreal. It's so good.
Oh, so the first time you heard it was like when you heard it on the podcast.
Yeah. Because when I recorded it, I was singing, but it was just the music track.
Just had you go in and be
click.
Like, ah.
Yeah. And it was crazy. So to actually hear it was like, whoa. With everything filled in and big and beautiful. Oh, it was awesome.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I mean, it was wild putting that thing together. And, you know, even going into this season, I was like, are the actors going to say yes? Like, I'm asking him to do this crazy thing. And everybody was just like really game, including like X did this crazy rap that's like supposed to like, it's like, you know, we initially approached the musical thinking, how can we take a little bit from a bunch of different musicals? And like, because, you know, Raul is like obsessed with musical theater. And so, like, he would, in his brain, have, like, Les Mis and Hamilton and have all of these, like, references to musicals. And so when we started writing it, we were like, okay, well, each piece of the musical is going to be a different, like, homage to a different show. And so, like, I think Luisa's is maybe meant to be, like, Schwartz, who or modeled off of, like, a Patter song. You know, like, each piece has, like, different references. And then... And your part was always conceived of as this like punchline within the musical, which like, it's so worked. You did such a good job. It really is one of the moments where like we laughed out loud, writing it, recording it, listening to it afterwards. It was really, really fun to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So much fun.
Yeah. The Princess of South Beach is full with surprises. And I think it's a wonderful series, and it's not a genre piece. There are many genres involved in what we're doing with Princess of South Beach. So I want to thank you, Jasmine, for bringing us your baby and letting us nurture it and give it life. And it's been really a lot of fun working on this, although we have the scars in our backs from working with you. But we show them with pride. I want to thank you guys. I want to thank you for joining us for this episode. Andy, thank you very much for coming over. And it's been wonderful to see you again, and hope to see you on season 3. And we are all waiting for you. And you have a lot of fans that are already waiting to see what's happening with Raul next time. And
have you seen your Twitter fans though?
They're great. I was trying to look through them really quick, because I was like, because there's so many nice people that constantly will like tag me and stuff, or be like, oh, this episode was so great, and it fills my heart to like wake up and like heart all the stuff on X or Twitter. But yeah, it's great. I love it.
Yeah,
hi, everyone.
I mean, there are tweets that are like, protect Raul at all costs. Yeah. Like, my baby Raul. Like, they people love Raul.
Yeah, hardcore fans. Hardcore fans.
Oh, they're so nice. Truly, yeah. Thank you guys for having me on. This was it was so nice to kind of reminisce and think about this again.
Thank you, Andy.
What a blast.
Thank you.
Andy, do you have any requests? If we do get a season 3, do you have any requests for your character?
Honestly, I loved getting to sing, because I do sing in real life. Like, I'm a singer, so that was so cool to get to do. I was like, oh, I get to mix these two things together. So I loved that. But other than that, more stuff where I'm falling or struggling, like carrying, just doing the sounds of me trying to carry the big suitcase was one of my, like, I love that kind of like Foley sound of like, oh God, when I was trying to hold in my, not shit my pants. I was getting lightheaded from like hyperventilating, trying to keep it in. And it was, I was dying, trying not to break, because it was so funny to me. So please just, I love physical humor. Physical comedy is my favorite thing. And to get to do it orally, is so cool and fun. And it gets me to like, approach physical comedy in a different way, which is a fun challenge.
You pack like you were going to war. Who told you to bring 6 lotions?
Okay, those skin creams are medicated, okay? I listen to the doctors. I believe in science. Okay, whatever. I don't need to explain myself to you. Dry skin, mean lady.
Great. Thank you, Andy. Thank Jasmine, you. Give us a hint of what's happening. What should we wait for? What's coming for everyone here in season 3 for the princess? God. Tell us something.
Well, I definitely, you're not supposed to write this way, I think, but I definitely like will will leave problems for future Jasmine to figure out. And so, like, the first season, I was like, well, I don't know what the resolution any of this is. Like, I really went into season two, like, not knowing what Esteban's secret was, not knowing, like, how the Gabby stuff was going to resolve. I was like, future Jasmine will figure it out. And then, like, I had to write the scripts, and I was like, oh, shit. And so, really, season three, I'm taking requests. I'm taking suggestions. Actually, a lot of season two came out of, like, fan theories that I saw or things that people said, like, oh, I wish this would happen. The musical came out of people being like, how did you have Raul Esparza on the show and not have him sing? And so I was like, all right, we'll write a musical. And so, like, Raul, the whole storyline of, like, Raul getting hit in the head and, like, Alan's character, Andres, being Victoria's son, like, all of that stuff was just the setup so that I could get to the musical. And really, I'll think about, like, what is the set piece that I want and how do I get these characters to get me there? And really, so we'll see. I like the idea of Raul, like, getting yoked for season three.
I could see that in your mind. Your mind is bursting with ideas now.
Oh, yeah.
Raul's bodybuilding. Also, like, he's you know, involved with the mafia now and is, like, hanging out with these, like, Sopranos guys, and so we'll see what happens there. But I would like to see Raul have, like, a love story of his own and really, like, find someone. And even if it's, like, I think sometimes, like, it's finding yourself and being okay with just being by yourself is a thing. Like, that's kind of Luis's journey in season two, and so you know, definitely I want to focus on Raul and continue to let him blossom, because I really do think he's grown over the last two seasons.
Maybe I'll find a woman who cries just as much as me and is just crying constantly. Just the most annoying people in the world, constantly crying over how much they love each other.
You keep inviting people for movie night and they're like, absolutely not. No, your whole house not. Is yeah. covered in tissues.
Disgusting house.
It's like, oh, you guys want to come over for Schindler's List? It's like, no. Sophie's Choice? No. You guys even cry at Mamma Mia? No.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And everyone, thank you so much for listening and enjoying Princess of South Beach Season 2.
Really quick before we go, I just want to add a couple of thank yous. Thank you to Megan Bagala, who helped, who composed all the music for the musical and worked on the lyrics. And I helped very minimally on the lyrics. She, like, really did the whole thing and put the whole arrangement together. Huge shout out to her. She's incredibly talented. Monisa Hinrichs, who, like, helped me beat out the season, who had worked with me on season one and helped me figure out, like, how are we gonna make a season two and what are we gonna do with all these characters? Cristian Hatar, the whole team at Sonoro, obviously the incredibly talented cast. Robles, who came up with an amazing theme song for season two. I didn't think we could top season one, and season two's theme song was just as good, if not better. Also wanna shout out Joanna Hausman, who helped me, you know, come up with all of these crazy characters in the first season and, like, whose influence is still felt in the show. Yeah, it's just, this show is such a labor of love. Oh, actually, here's a little bit of fun trivia for the fans. I want to thank my husband, Eric Messery, because the idea of himbos came from him. I was tearing my hair out, trying to figure out, what is Esteban's secret? What are we going to do? I originally had, like, a very dark storyline, and my husband was like, I don't think this is what your fans are coming to hear. Like, nobody wants this to be, like, a dark show. You want it to be light and fun and silly and stupid. And we went out one night to a bar and we're trying to figure it out. And he was like, what if it's himbos? And I was like, you're a genius. Like, and so the whole idea of making it fits perfectly with Esteban's character. I can't imagine anyone who's more of a himbo than Esteban. I think the whole show is filled with himbos. Raul is a himbo. Esteban is a himbo. We need more himbos in general. And so, yeah, I want to thank Eric Messery, who, like, is, you know, my rock and also occasionally has a stroke of genius.
This is the end now, and hope to hear from you and hope that you can hear from us soon on season 3 for The Princess of South Beach. This was Luis Eduardo Castillo, Jasmine Romero, Andy Bustillos, and all the team Querenza, Juan, Edwin, says hello. Take care, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Andy.
Bye, guys.
Thank you again.
Andy,
of course, thank you, guys.
Gracias.
Bye. Cuídense. Muchas gracias.
Igualmente. Gracias.
Good to see you.
The Princess of South Beach Season 2 was produced by Sonoro in partnership with iHeart's My Cultura Network. Created and directed by Jasmine Romero. Written by Jasmine Romero with help from Manisa Hendricks. Produced by Luis Eduardo Castillo. Executive produced by Jasmine Romero. Executive produced by Conal Byrne and Giselle Vances for iHeart and Camila Victoriano and Joshua Weinstein for Sonoro. Performances by Danny Pino, Andy Bustillos, X Mayo, Gina Torres, Raúl Esparza, Kelly Conkel, Brent Harvey, Alan Eisenberg, Pearl Shin, Kuei Tan, Doreen Hamilton, Mike Cabalon, Jasmine Romero, Alfredo Narciso, Joanna Hausman, Corinne Gilliard, Eileen Clark, Karime Pinter, Joseph Limos, Ryan Perez, Johan Hamlin, Franco Hamlin, Grace Saltin, Paco Lozano, Nico Posey, Emiliano Quintanar, Kelsey Gunn, Wendell Johnson, Carmina Garay, and Luis Eduardo Castillo. Our production manager is Querenza Chaires. Recording, engineering, and sound design by Edwin Irigoyen and Juan Diaz with help from Cassandra Tinajero and Andres Baena. Casting and coordination by Querenza Chaires, Ansley Martinez, Alex Gonzalez, and Andres Chaires. Theme song and original music by Rodrigo Garcia Robles. Theme song performed by Yafet Samayoa and Carol Velasco. Raúl's Dreamsicle had music and lyrics by Megan Bagala with help from Jasmine Romero. Performed by Raúl Esparza, Danny Pino, Gina Torres, Andy Bustillos, X Mayo, Kelly Conkel, and Jasmine Romero. Voices recorded at the Invisible Studios in Los Angeles, the Relic Room in New York, and the Hallowed Halls in Portland, with engineering by Charles Carroll, David Wilson, Neil Wagensen, Sam Baer, Brett Tubin, and Justin Phelps. With special thanks to Jeronimo Avila.
Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.